Very warm good morning to everyone. It's good that we can worship together. We're journeying through the book, The Essential Question. Very excited to share with you about that. And we're in week two, so we read week two last week, and I will ask you to read week three of the devotions for the week to come. And then I'll share on that at the message. There is a book, there are books back there. If you don't have one, please pick one up. And there's also a reading guide that helps you stay on track. Have a new newsletter out, and it's actually wonderful, beautiful. I love the cover. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it fits well with the message for today, too, so I'm very glad for that. We are going to have Sunday school today. This is really awesome because the Bible study has been carrying on since February, but Sunday school is starting, and we're very glad for that, and we have that for young ones and for youth and of course, adults, so that's good. And we'll be meeting in the rooms on the educational wing. So I'll be in the what's called the library, and then you'll see Carol's room just across from that. And Jill with the youth will be in the office, so that lets you know how it's going to work. But it's really nice. It's praise God that with the COVID and all this sort of stuff, it's just good that moving on. That's nice. And yeah, those are the main things I like to share with you. There's construction going on, of course, all the time. We're very excited about that. Looking forward to their completion. And welcome. It's good to worship in God's house. It really is. Let's stand. And let's begin our service by lifting up our voices with praise.
Thank you.
worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to our last.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Lord, grant this unto us all.
Amen. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated while Hilary shares our scripture readings.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading from the Old Testament is Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill." I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son today. I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is a selection from Acts 4, verses 5 through 12, 21, 23 to 31. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. They inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit." I love this. This is where it brings in the Old Testament passage we just read. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against you your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
Thank you, Hillary. And it's so true. It's beautiful to see that correlation from the Old Testament. See Jesus in there. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated while we sing. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. We can fellowship together. I invite you please grab your outlines that are in your bulletins. I'd like to take a look at that. We're journeying through Acts. We're going to talk about boldness this week. The text alone from Acts is one of our devotions for this week, and boldness is in it many times. And it is essential for us to live bold Christian lives, but it might not be what you think. It's not by human ability at all. Not at all. We are called to be bold in Jesus. It's not a matter of personality types, egos, or any other human ability or anything. The religious leaders that crucified Jesus, those same ones had the apostles on trial. They're very bold. They're very wrong. And they were not saved. They had departed from Christ. Peter's very bold. So let's explore that. It's deeper than that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, make us bold. Make us confident in who you are. That is the source of our boldness. Bless our faith then, Lord, so it would grow strong, resting on you. And as we gather around your word, open our hearts and minds. Instill in us, Lord, a love for you that yields boldness and truth and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. So really, to live Christian life, to live Christianly, is to really live boldly. And it's very true that God wants us to do this. And I think it's good to define what we mean by bold. What do we actually mean by that? And just use the book of Acts in this case. Make references to particularly some Old Testament readings so that we can get a better understanding of this concept of boldness. I think sometimes we think it has to do with what I'm doing now, or handing out a tract, or doing something, you know, obvious. It's not, actually. That's not where it begins. More than a miracle, what's going on in Acts is more than a miracle. Now, I put a reference there from the reading that we had. Hillary, thank you for your comment, because it was absolutely spot on. You know, really, I mean, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. It's right from the reading, and they actually quote this even in their prayer. So, what is going on here? Luke tells us that there's been a lot happening. They had Peter's sermon at Pentecost. He stood up and he preached. And for some reason, we have this idea in our minds that Peter is just this bold, brash, you know, in-your-face individual. And he might well have been. But I would ask you to notice the fact that everybody prayed that prayer. And everybody was made bold. Men, women, Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, everyone, kids. So what's going on there? So they get called in because they're preaching and they're sharing the word of God. And then what happens is Peter and John, they're coming back from their prayer meeting. And as they see this beggar, this guy who's not walked. And they look at him, and Peter gets this inclination, the Lord's going to heal this guy. He asks for money, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Keep that in your mind, in the name of Jesus Christ, because this is the boiling point. You see, what's happening, I mentioned that they're in front of the Sanhedrin now. They're in front of the very same characters that voted to crucify Jesus Christ, the same sham trial. These are the guys that ran it. What's important about that is they knew what Peter was saying. Now, for us as Gentiles, we just need to stop and get our minds around this. We really do, folks, because we don't get it. We really don't get that. We sit in our Gentileness, in our Western culture, and we have no idea what they're all excited about. You see, what this is, and Peter just quotes elegantly to them, this is, and it's all prophetic stuff, it's a stump. There's a verse in the Old Testament, the stump of Jesse. You know who Jesse is? Jesse is the father of David. See, all this is really deep stuff, and for us Gentile minds, we don't even get this. So there's a stump of Jesse. And we know from a stump, it can sprout again. Right? But when you look at the stump, it's dead. Where does the stump sprout from? The roots. Somebody said roots. Spot on. It is the roots. It comes up from the roots. What are the roots in this case? It is the word of God. It is the word of God going back all the way to Abraham, going all the way back to Adam. So what's happening here is this word of God has come to life. Now, every last one of those Pharisees and Sadducees, and even the people in the temple, you remember when Jesus was presented at the temple, there was people there, Anna, for example, and they were waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Why did the guy jump up so excited when he got healed? We would think, oh, who wouldn't, right? You'd be all jumping up and down, like, woo, I can walk again. No. Partly true, the reason being the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is here. It is now. It is verse 2. It is verse of this psalm 2. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And there's all sorts of prophecies in the Old Testament. So what's happening here is the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them know they were waiting for these promises to come when the kingdom of God would be set up on this earth. Remember when Jesus Christ came in to Jerusalem at the triumphant entry? What were they crying out? Hosanna. And everybody was saying, are you going to establish your kingdom now? Is it now? Are we going to rule the world? And they believed they were going to rule the world, that he was going to sit on the throne and they were going to get rid of all the enemies. You saw the graphic language that was in Psalm 2. This is their hope. This is the hope of Israel. And this is what Peter is so eloquently saying. He is saying, it's Jesus Christ. You crucified him. And that's not really the kicker. You know what the kicker is? He's alive. He's alive, guys. He's alive. This is the real deal. This is true. He is living. So that means every single promise about the kingdom of God has come alive in Jesus Christ. Not like you expected. There is an interim now. We don't know how long that interim is going to be. Fit right into their Jewish year on the calendar. This is the time of the harvest. Pentecost, they're waiting. We're waiting right now until he finally comes back. Jesus told us this time and time and time again in his ministry. And they're preaching to them, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one. And they're listening to this and they're going, where do these guys learn this? We have spent our entire lives studying this, being schooled, going to seminary in our modern parlance, that's what we would say, learning all this, becoming a theologian, becoming a reverend doctor, and whatever you want to add to it. These guys, they're sitting here eloquently, scripturally, hermeneutically, exegetically correct, spot on. We got nothing. You're right. They can't say they're right. This is what freaked them out. This is why they're freaking out, because Jesus lives. Jesus lives. He lives, guys. This is the kingdom of God. It's here. It's now. Right now. And this was just a bomb that they dropped on them. And they were not expecting that. You can see in the text when you read it, they knew not what to do with these guys. I mean, they all got together and they're scratching their head and they're going, oh my goodness, the kingdom of God is here. This guy's healed. This was one of the signs of the kingdom of God. Why? How did it happen? Second point in your outline, Jesus taught them how to read. Did the Pharisees, Sadducees, all the religious leaders not read? Of course they did. They didn't know how. Jesus even talked with them once. He said, you guys read the scriptures. Unfortunately, the scriptures that you read point to me. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith in Christ alone. He is the Messiah. He is the truth. He is the way. This is shocking to the world. This is appalling to the world. Why? Because the world is wrong. Ooh, that was a bold statement. It is. Why? Because they don't receive Christ. He is the king. He is ruling. He is the truth, the way, the truth. Look at the second verse. This is from the Old Testament. I purposely quoted a verse here. Come and listen to my counsel. Can you imagine? Put your shoes in the disciples' feet. Now, not just the apostles, but all the disciples in the upper room. And can you imagine one of them who had a Septuagint or a Bible, he's reading it on their own, and he encounters this verse from Proverbs, and he says, come and listen to my counsel. Wow, I did that with Jesus. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. He did that too. I have called you so often, but you wouldn't come. No, they didn't listen. They crucified him. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. They're still not paying attention. Can you see the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit activated this within the heart of those believers that were in that upper room, and all of them were in the Word like that, and then they get together, can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the power? Can you imagine the revelation? Can you imagine just the life? Is it life by their works? No, it is life by faith in the Word of God alone, and the Holy Spirit working through the Word. That's it. Jesus teaches us how to believe. He taught them how to believe. It's faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ, in who he is. In who he is. And I really love the cover that Chris picked for the newsletter. Could be better. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. This was the bomb. This was the revelation that hit them. It's like, it's real. It's incredible. I was just rereading the Christmas story just last night, as a matter of fact, in my own devotions. And I realized that's what the shepherds were stoked about. Who knows? Maybe they were just talking about it. Maybe they were talking about something from the Old Testament. You see how God works. He wants to draw us into communication with him. He wants to reveal that to us. And when it hits us, it's like, wow, good stuff, powerful stuff. Boldness. You know, an ironic thing about boldness. It's not where it comes from, where you think it is. Now, I know the world can send you to workshops on assertiveness, and even conscious discipline will help you be bold in tense situations. You can go to motivational speakers and learn all sorts of wonderful stuff. You can be a great orator. You can do all sorts of things. Ways of God are different than the ways of man, and he says, my ways are not your ways. Boldness for us comes through quietness. You want to be bold in Christ? Be quiet with Jesus. Quiet and listen. Just listen. Is he speaking? Do you hear him? He's speaking to you. He's calling you through the Word. He's calling you to spend time with him. Whether it's through Word or sacrament, that he's speaking to you. That imparts boldness. True? Look at their prayer. These are ordinary parishioners. Check out that prayer. They're quoting scripture. They're like, God, you said it. You do it. I'm standing here. You got this. That's the boldness. The boldness to stand on what God said. And in order to stand on what God says, what God said has to be in us. That's the way he worked it. It's a powerful, it's an amazing, it's a beautiful revelation in Christ. And it's actually from quietness in Jesus. He spent 3 years with his disciples. Did he bear fruit? We're reading it in the New Testament. And let me finish up, but I want to let's walk through a verse together as I finish up my message today. If you look, Jesus teaches us how to believe. Let's look at this Old Testament prophecy. The reference, it's a typo. It's from Micah 4:4-5. And it says in the Old Testament, this is approximately 400 some years before Jesus was born, everyone will sit under their own vine, under their own fig tree. No one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So let's just look at this for a second to see how we would just see Jesus in this. Now, the first part, everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree. Keep in mind, they're an agrarian culture and they're shepherds too. Now, that would be a sign where you are totally at peace. We don't have raiders coming in, so we might have robbers and things, but we don't have that sort of threat. But when you can actually get up and go to your vineyard, you can go to your fig tree, your orchard, and you know no one's going to accost you, no Philistine or rogue is going to come and steal what you have or hurt your family. That's because God is watching over you, and you don't have the fear that they had in Judges and in Samuel and in Kings. You're free from that. So this spoke to them. It spoke to them in a different way than it does to us. It means peace, security, the presence of the king in a very mighty and powerful way. Now, that for us certainly hasn't happened in its fullness yet. Hasn't. It will. And this is the way prophecy works. We see them in different bits and pieces, and they're not always in order. So this first part is telling us of something that we have to hope for just as they have to hope for. So we're all saved by faith. But I want you to underline and make note of the second part of this first verse, this verse 4. No one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. That is now. That is now. It is not that we should do nothing. In fact, we should ask God to do everything. We need the Lord. The threats are too great. Our sin is too great for us. As Martin Luther said, there is no way I would want to stand in front of the devil by myself. I am no match for him. And the world is too insidious and too wicked and too violent for me in my pride to think I could just withstand it on my own. No, we need him. The Lord has spoken, and his word has spoken to us. It speaks to us every day. Speaks to us every day. His love is beyond measure, and we trust in it. You are his. He is yours. He is Lord of lords. In your trials, Romans 8:38 says, nothing can separate us from the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. A beautiful section. Read that last part of Romans 8. And we have hope. We have hope, it says in Romans 5, that does not disappoint, because he has poured into our hearts the love of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he says those trials develop character in us, a living God living in you, and that is our precious boldness in Jesus Christ. This is how the church is called to live. In Jesus' name, amen. God's blessings to you. I invite you to rise at this time, please. Let's lift up our voices as we sing our offertory. Go before Heavenly Father in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for inviting us, calling us, graciously bringing us into your family. Lord, with all the privileges thereof as your sons and daughters, Lord, let that percolate down into our daily living. Lord, in your mercy. And let us, as we approach your table this morning, Lord, know that we are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let us know, Lord, you've forgiven us to give us our lives back. And Lord, though we are emptied at times through our service, Lord, you fill us up again to be emptied again in service to you. Lord, bless us, strengthen us, give us ears to hear, hearts that are made tender by the love of Jesus Christ, and thoughts, Lord, that might be fixed on you. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless our efforts. We thank you for the new fellowship hall. We ask that you would bless what we do in it and how we serve you in it. And we just pray an anointing, not over the building itself, but over ourselves even, and the opportunities that we have to serve you through it. Bless the LWML, Lord, as we look forward to LWML Sunday next weekend. And Lord, we thank you for their service, all the things they do, the quilts and the blessings they are for so many people, the school kits. Lord, inspire them, continue to bless them in our small groups that meet. Lord, in our Sunday school, in our preschool. Lord, in all these opportunities where we seek to serve you, Lord, continue your service through us, your servants, that you would touch hearts and lives and draw us closer to one another and closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us in really big things, Lord. We collaborate with Trinity Hope, and we pray for Yahweh Nisi and Institute Olivier. Lord, we ask that you bless these two schools that we feed. We understand it might be the only food these children get, Lord, and we not only thank you for the food and that we can do this out of our abundance, but we also thank you, Lord, that they're Christian schools and they hear about you, Jesus. Please bless them. Please bless them. Be strengthened in every way, body and soul and mind. Lord, be with the Stouts. Help them in their church planting efforts. We thank you, Lord, in your mercy. And dear Heavenly Father, we celebrate a holiday of Labor Day. Lord, let us realize and thank you that the work that you've given us is a gift from you, a tool that you want to use. And sometimes we just think it's a job. And sometimes maybe we just, you know, don't even know why we're doing that job, but Lord, you do. Bring our hearts and minds in line with you, that you would use us in the work that you've given us, and open our hearts daily, Lord, to how we could just be a light of love to those that are around us, even if it's not our work, or if it's our family, or if it's our acquaintances. Lord, we thank you. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our government, Lord. Give them wisdom with the power that you've given them for a season. Lord, we know that some of our brothers and sisters live in very dangerous areas. We ask that you would please strengthen them. But for us, help us to be strengthened, that we would live a bold life of dignity, love, and respect for all people, Lord, and seek that they would know the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, we have friends, we have family, and we have acquaintances and neighbors, we have people we work with that need the touch of your care, need healing, need help, need encouragement, need to know you. Lord, in all these, we lift up the names personally in our hearts now, and you see them. We thank you that you respond. And it's because we trust in your response, Lord, we lay before you all our cares and concerns, leaving them there, knowing they're in good hands, and looking to you to inspire us in faith to believe and trust. And we thank you for this through the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Service will continue now as we celebrate Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, together in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table. Our usher, Fred Holhubner, will direct you up. You may be seated. Would your brothers and sisters in Christ may this, the true body and blood of our Savior, strengthen, serve us in true faith, now and unto life everlasting, as we depart in his peace and his joy. Let's stand. As we speak the words of the psalmist, so give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, Lord, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we ask that you not forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Let's remain standing while we sing our closing hymn. Pray that you have a good week. Come join us for Sunday school and Bible class. And as we just sang in the hymn, may you stand securely on the rock of Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.